Today is the November 22nd, 2020 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is The Psalms and Prophecy, Part 2. If you'd like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here on this Lord's Day. As you know, the name of our church is Hope Bible Church, and that means something. It should mean something to all of us here, and so we're teaching on hope for, really, I think of three particular reasons. One is because, as a Christian, we should all know about the hope that God has for us. Secondly, our name is Hope Bible Church, and we better know what this really means, and not just in our heads, but also in our hearts. And thirdly, because it's been a tough year, okay? It's been a distressing year, difficult year. Some of you might say this is one of the harder years of your life, all that's going on. And that's one of the reasons I'm taking a few weeks here, really a number of weeks, and I still have a couple more to go, to talk about this subject, because we really need to understand it. It's like making a cake. You have flour, sugar, you have salt, and baking powder, baking soda, whatever, and some liquid. And you have to have all the ingredients. If you don't, the cake's not going to be what cake should be. Like any recipe, you have to have all the ingredients. And so with your Christian life, hope is one of the top four or five ingredients you need to have. And otherwise, you're going to fall flat, if I can say it that way. So anyway, with that, we continue on this subject of hope. Each of us are on a road I call life. And you want to be on the road that God has planned out for you, that God has mapped out for you. And on this road, there's direction. You're going someplace, you're heading someplace, and by God's grace, we're all heading to heaven to be with the Lord. It's also a purpose, that is, God has his plans for your life, things he wants you to accomplish, things he wants you to do. As you go down this road, you can be tempted to go off this road. There's some little exit ramps. Just go this way, and it's the wrong road. It's the wrong way. That's why God gives us his word. He gives us his commands to keep us on this road, to keep us going down the road that he has then planned out for us. God also gives his prophecy, his prophetic word. It gives a direction, enables you to know where you're going, enables you to see the destination, the end of your destination, that is. And now we're in the end times, and God's prophetic word tells us what will be happening. God wants us to know what's going to happen because he doesn't want us to be scared, and he doesn't want us to be surprised. He wants us to be ones who have hope, to be looking forward to the wonderful future that he has all planned out for us. Book of Psalms talks a whole lot about the future. Last week we looked at 15 different psalms. A lot of prophecies in here that talk about the future that God has for the Jews. Now we live in the church age. So we see that God's future plans for the Jews are converging and coinciding and will be so with the plans that God has for the church in the age to come. We see that God's work with the Jewish and Gentile believers from all time, I'm talking about Old Testament times, I'm talking about church age times, it's all going to come together in the kingdom age. And this is what God wants us to understand, to see this. And this is going to take place after this church age is over. Steve, in his prayer, was praying about this. And these are, again, things we need to understand in our head, but they need to be convictions in our heart where you really are looking forward. You are really excited about that time when Jesus Christ is King and there is love and joy and peace on this earth like never before. And there is righteousness and holiness. That is what God wants for us. In fact, I'll just mention this, I said before, but that the last phrase of that last song we sang, Holy, 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 I tell you, that was encouraging. That was good. That's heavenly, okay? And that indeed is a taste of heaven to come when we'll be singing like that every day of the week to the Lord in perfect harmony and perfect melody before him, praising him for who he is and what he's done for us. During this kingdom age, then, Christ will reign over this earth, and of course, we are going to reign with him. And that's why it's imperative for us to understand the prophecies that God gives to the Jews, because they're prophecies that relate to the future that God has for us. And most believers don't understand this. You go back to the Old Testament, you look at the prophecies that God has for the Jews, they relate directly to us. Not every single one, but a lot of them. And so our study of Psalms this morning, the study of other prophecies, then we have to understand it because it helps you to see the picture, gives you a clear vision of what your life will be like. Again, as I said last week, we just have the outline, but God, I believe, gives us a pretty good outline of the future. Not all the details, not all the subpoints are there, but God gives us what he wants us to know. And as Christians, we should want to know what he wants. It's like Mark 13:23, behold, I've told you ahead of time what will be taking place. And so if he's told ahead of time, well, we should then be ones who are desiring to know what he says. As I said, last time we looked at prophecy verses from 15 different psalms. We have about another, I think, 19 or so to go today. And again, we are not doing an in-depth study. This is a overview, to say the least. We looked at these different psalms and all these prophecy verses that relate to the future of the Jews. And as I said, then also relate to us as well. Let's begin. You can just listen along. Some people do that, or you can read along. We're going to start in Psalm 66 and go clear to Psalm 150, looking at a number of different psalms. Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praise to you. They will sing praise to your name. And so this psalm talks about, these are commands. Shout and sing and say to God. The first three verses are commands that God gives to us, that we're to do this. And of course, this hasn't happened yet. Like this. And the reason I say it's not happened yet, because when you look at verse 3 says, all the earth will worship you. It says, all the earth, that means every person on the earth, all the earth, will is what? It's a future word. Worship thee, Lord Jesus, the King of kings, God the Father. We'll worship him. Okay, so the point is, that's how you know this verse is talking about the future. Because it's got that future word there, and you see all the earth has not done that yet. It's a command that God wants to happen now, but it's not. We all know that, and I believe then God will fulfill. I'm convinced he'll fulfill it then in the future, the next kingdom age. Go to Psalm 67. We just sang this, and I'm just going to sum this up here. We learn here that Christ will be reigning over the earth, specifically that he'll be judging, and he'll be guiding, and that he'll be leading the people. Those three words are used, judging, guiding, and leading the people. Indeed, he's the one who's overall ruling, reigning. And he'll be blessing his people, the Jews, and along with us, with that, us Christians as well, so that the result is all the ends of the earth will fear him and praise him. Now again, how this all happens through the years, we're talking 1,000 years in length here. Is this all going to happen in day one, week one, year one? I don't think so. I think it's progressional. But I think this is what is going to happen. This is what God's goal is for all the people in the world to be fearing and praising him, even if, as it says there in end of verse 3, feigned obedience, which means people are just doing it because they don't have to. As Christians, of course, we will love to worship the Lord, but many unbelievers still on earth will not love to do it, but they'll have to do it, and they will do it. That is what the Bible tells us. Psalm 68, we continue, 24 to 35, just read a number of verses here. 68. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. See that, my King, that's a clue. This is Christ. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines. Bless God and the congregations, even the Lord, you who are the fountain of Israel. There is Benjamin, the youngest, ruling them, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Show yourself strong, O God, you who have acted on our behalf. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, let's talk about the physical temple at Jerusalem, millennial kingdom. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring gifts to you. Rebuke the beast and the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people, trampling underfoot the pieces of silver. He has scattered the people who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides upon the highest heavens, which are from ancient times. Behold, he speaks forth with his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His majesty is over Israel. His strength is in the skies. O God, you're awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and people to the people. Blessed be God. Let me say a few things here. Read about the king going into his sanctuary. This is in Jerusalem. Read about the musicians and singers sort of leading the way. They're leading in the worship and the praise, and then we'll be praising too as well. The tribes of Israel, we read, are ruling. They'll be ruling. They have a special role they'll play during this millennial kingdom time. We read about kings from the earth bringing gifts to the King of Kings. That will happen. That's stated many other places in prophetic literature, prophetic verses in the Old Testament there. And read about the awesomeness, the strength, and the majesty of God, and that the whole earth then will be worshiping the Lord. So we see that. So that's what I'm saying. You look at these psalms and, oh, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. So you get a picture. We continue to Psalm 72. This is a great psalm. And I'm not going to read it here. I'm just read a couple verses at the end, but not the most of it. This psalm has a near and far fulfillment. That is, it relates to and speaks about King Solomon and his glory years. Indeed, one of the most glorious kings there was back in the Old Testament times. But it most also and more so tells us about Christ's reign in the kingdom. And we read that he'll be judging the people. He'll be helping the poor. He'll be one that is rescuing the people who are oppressed. And it says there in verse 13, he will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. And this, this psalm, as much as any, talks about God wanting to show mercy and compassion through Christ it is on this earth. There still will be poor people. There'll still be problems. But what we're going to see, unlike today, where the oppressed and the poor, man, they're sometimes just discarded, and they're not taken care of like they ought to be. We're going to see God through Christ, through us, helping them. That's what's going to happen, okay? So I like that. He'll have compassion on the poor and needy. This is millennial kingdom. And the lives of the needy he will save. And again, I mentioned before, we'll all have purpose. We'll all be glorified as Christians. What our purpose will be, who knows? You might be involved in this aspect of ruling of the kingdom, helping those who are poor, making sure that they're taken care of, helping the oppressed. Because Christ is in Jerusalem, but we are really doing the work of Christ all over the world. Okay, that's what's happening. And this phrase says, the abundance of grain. We've stated this before, but the land will be very productive all over the world, and we all know that there's a lot of people that go hungry every day. We understand there's famine in different parts of the world, and I believe then there'll be an abundance of food, and that people's needs will more and more so be taken care of as we progress through those 1,000 years of time. That is enough food for everyone. We go to verses 17 to 19, the end of the section here. It says, may his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. Let men bless themselves by him. Let all nations call him blessed. And so you see that I believe there's a progression of more and more people worshiping the Lord. More and more the glory of the Lord is being seen all over the world. And then it says, let all nations call him blessed. Every nation. It'll be nations. There'll be the nation of Israel, which is most prominent and is the ruling nation. Christ is ruling from there. And the Jewish people were ruling there with him. And all the nations then will call him blessed. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now, the Jews read that, or believers read those last verse. Says, huh, may blessed be his glorious name forever. So they understood this aspect of the kingdom age coming. They saw this. They read this. But they did not have a comprehension of a kingdom age like we understand now. That's what I want to see. You go to the Old Testament, there's no concept of a 1,000-year millennial kingdom age. It's not there. It's only to the New Testament, particularly Revelation 20, that we see that. But it's important for you to realize that that's how they thought the Lord's going to reign forever and ever. And indeed he is, but there's this partition. In fact, let me say it this way just so you see it clearly. And I'll have to get you a chart. I should have gotten you a chart for this weekend. But your life is really, I think of it as four parts, okay? Right now you're here on earth, okay? You're 70, 80, 90 years, you're here on earth. Got it? This point is when you either die or are raptured. Got it? Then the next part is when you're in heaven. Because after you die or are raptured, you're going to heaven. That's what's going to happen. Then let's say you're raptured and it's right at the end times. There's going to be God judging the world, a few other things taking place. After that, then, the millennial kingdom starts, 1,000 years. After that is the eternal kingdom. So you need to see your life this way. Oftentimes, most people just think of life here and now, and that's it. Oh, I'm as a Christian, I'm going to heaven. They don't see the picture. Here, heaven, millennial kingdom age, back on earth, eternal kingdom, okay? And right at the end, or right at the beginning of the eternal kingdom is when heaven comes down to meet with earth. Really, really sort of cool to read this in Revelation 21, first few verses about heaven comes down to join with earth. And that is what will happen. But again, keep that picture in your mind, and I'll get you a chart sometime. And so the earth will be filled with the glory of God. It says, as we saw, we just sang this, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth will be full of his glory. It says in Numbers 21, Numbers 14, 21, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So this will take place. What it all looks like, we don't know. But the glory of God will be visible, be obvious to every person in the world like never, ever before. We continue. Go to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Much of this here is a prayer that God would have mercy on the Israelites, that God would grant them salvation. Look at verse 7. Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. And then verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Verses 12 and 13, indeed, the Lord will give what is good. Our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way. And you might say, well, is there any really definitive words that say this is future? This is going to happen, okay? God's going to bless. God's going to bring salvation on this world and this earth like never, ever before. You need to see that. So that's about the salvation of the Jews and, of course, salvation to others as well. We'll see that in a minute. Psalm 86, 8 to 10. I love these verses. It's one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm like some other psalms where you talk about your personal life, then it expands into the big picture. And that's such an important concept that God's concerned about you as an individual, but then he also gives you the big picture to help you see how you fit in, help you to see this big picture of hope. And so the first seven verses is all about you and problems, and it's really encouraging you to read it. Verse 8, there is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. This is an amazing thing. The great and wonderful God's going to cause all the nations of the world to come and worship him. I mean, you think about it now. Just think about the nations in the world. Just let your mind go from whether it's in Asia or Europe or South America or Africa. Are all the nations worshiping? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? God is going to do this. Through Christ, they're going to do this and cause all the nations of the world to worship him. But really, really, it's a miraculous thing. And of course, we know this is prophetic. We know this is about the future. This has not happened yet, but it will. And so this is what we need to see. And this, of course, is going to happen during this millennial kingdom time, that thousand-year kingdom age. Psalm 87. Interesting little psalm. Let me read it here. Psalm 87:1, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. So you see this reference, Zion, city of God, Jerusalem. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the people. This one was born there. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flutes shall say, all my springs of joy are on you. This word born here, it's talking about people being saved. We have this context of Zion and Jerusalem, and it's the worship center of the world, and Christ will be there, but it says people will be born there. I'm not saying they can't be born again other places, but here they'll be born there. And you read about other nations that many times in the past have been really enemy nations of Israel. So it's talking about this, people being born. That last phrase, all my springs of joy are in you. People then that have a relationship with God. That's what's happening. This is the future. In fact, just turn, you don't have to, but if you want, turn to Matthew 12:32. I just saw this last week. I'm going through Matthew in my quiet time. And that's what's interesting about the Bible and the Word. You go through life and you see something for the first time. And I just saw this, but it relates to what we're saying here. We're talking here, the point here is there's going to be salvation, people getting saved in the kingdom age. Verse 32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Did you get that? This whole verse is about forgiveness and that Jesus wants to forgive people. And it says if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which is another subject we'll get into now, then you can't be forgiven, whether it's this age, the age to come. The implication is strong that there's going to be forgiveness in the age to come, this age and in the age to come, not in the eternal kingdom, but in the millennial kingdom. So it's just very clearly, I believe, clearly stated here, this Matthew 12 verse. We continue on, go to Psalm 89, first verses 3 and 4. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. When you think about prophecy for the Jews, there's three specific, some might say there's four, some might say there's even five, but three specific promises that God gave to Israel. One is that, this is Genesis 12, he would give them land. The second is 2 Samuel 7, 14, 15, 16, about how God would give to Israel a king. The third one, Jeremiah 31, talks about how he would save a great number of Jews. So you call those, the Abrahamic covenant, that's the land, the Davidic covenant, which is the king would come from the lines of David, and the third one that is called the new covenant, salvation for the Jews. And so this psalm, this psalm focuses on the Davidic covenant. And you'll see this theme just woven throughout here. And I've said this before, but the one word that appears, I think maybe 8, maybe 9 times, maybe 10, is the word faithful. God is faithful to his covenant to David that he gave in 2 Samuel 7. That is then repeated. You go to read, Luke chapter 1 when Gabriel came to Mary and she knew what was being said because she recognized, hey, that's that promise given to David back in 2 Samuel 7. Now it's being told to me, and I'm going to actually be the mother of the Messiah. This is pretty amazing stuff here. So she understood that. But this whole psalm is about this. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed, your descendants forever, and build up your throne to all generations. Eternal kingdom right there. That's what it says. But we go on. The whole psalm is good, but look, a few more verses, 33 to 37. I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. So again, this is God confirming to the Israelites and other believers that the promise he gave to David about one of his descendants becoming king, an eternal king, would come true. And of course, we know again from other verses, Christ then will reign forever, and we as believers, and we again are some of David's descendants, we will reign with him. That is what is going to happen. So encouraging. It's a great psalm about the faithfulness of God to his covenant, and really to us as well. Psalm 96, we sang from this. We did sing this morning, I believe, a little bit. Psalm 96. And I'm going to just say this at intro to the psalm, and I've said this before, but some psalms you look at and you say, now, when is this for? And I know when I read the Bible, I about always think of the when word. That's the way my mind operates. When is this happening? When? And of course, this is relevant to Old Testament times. It's relevant to the church age, but it's also relevant to the future kingdom. It's not happened yet, okay? Verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. There's that, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. There's proclaim his salvation. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So here God's given us these commands that we are to sing to him, we are to praise him, that we are to tell of his glory. And again, this has happened to some degree in the past, to some degree now, but not in the way that God wants, not in the way that is stated here. It's not. Which again tells us this is future. This is going to be, it's present too, but it's going to be really fulfilled in the future, in the kingdom age. Verse 12, let the field exult and all that is in it, then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Now, has that happened yet? But then you might say, well, Steve, what does it mean for the trees to sing for joy? I don't know. I just know, I don't think they're singing for joy now, okay, especially up north where you see the leaves are falling off, and it's pretty, if you've been up north in the wintertime, it's pretty bleak looking at the landscape. I mean, it's just all these barren trees, and we're pretty blessed down here to have many trees have leaves year-round, but the trees will be singing for joy. We continue, verse 13 says, before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, this is the last verse of the psalm. I believe it relates to what's going to happen before these things in this psalm take place, okay? That is, we're talking about the millennial kingdom, but Christ is coming back to judge the world. Revelation 8, 9, and 16 talk about this day of the Lord, this time when he will judge the world, and he's going to do that. And it's after this judgment then, that he will do many of these things here, most of these things that are talked about in Psalm 96. And so, and this, of course, this judgment here takes place right after Christ returns to rapture the church. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that Christ will deliver us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is this judgment spoken of here in Psalm 96, verse 13. We continue. 98. Now, I'm skipping 97. Some of you might look at it and say, hey, I think that's a kingdom psalm. It might be. You know, I'm sure not by any means covering all the prophecies in these psalms that talk about it. But I'm not going to go in here. There's certain things you wonder about, but there's definitely truth there that can relate to the kingdom. I'm just saying I'm not covering everything here, okay? And as you read and study, you can look at some of these things yourself. But Psalm 98 is definitely the future. Sing to the Lord, verse 1, a new song. He has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness to the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There's four really parts to this psalm. First part is what I just read here. It's talk about the salvation of the Jews, which we understand to be taking place at the end of Daniel's 70th week. If you have a minute, go to Daniel, not now, but some other time, go to Daniel 9:24. It's talking there about the 70 weeks of Daniel. It talks about what's going to happen at the end of the 70th week and atonement and righteousness and things like that, and it relates to this here. Verses 4 to 6, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. So this is, again, commands what we're to be doing really now. But it's going to definitely take place in the future, and commands about how we are to be worshiping the Lord, singing to him and praising him. Then you go to verse 7, 8. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. The rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Again, we see about how God is going to be physically, and Christ physically affecting and blessing the world during that time. Again, we see those references, Psalm 65, 67, other places as well. And finally, in verse 9, very similar to what we saw in Psalm 96, verse 13, it says, before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. I believe, speaking then of what's going to take place at the end of this age, the day of the Lord. We continue. Psalm 100. Great little psalm, very encouraging. Again, as I said before, this could relate to what's going on now. It's definitely applicable to our lives here, but not fully come to pass yet, I believe, relates to the future as well. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So, again, these commands to worship God, which again has happened to some extent, but will be fully seen in the age to come. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Now think for a minute. There's no doubt that we can spiritually, in our hearts, enter gates. Thank the Lord, right? Enter his gates, we could do that. There's no doubt about that, and we should do that. We should spiritually be ones who are thankful to the Lord and be praising him. But I think this particularly has a reference to the future. The physical gates of Jerusalem, we'll enter into the gates, we will see Christ, he'll be visibly before us, all these other people, we will give thanks to him and praise him. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah, sure, it's spiritually true now, but I believe it's going to be physically true in the future. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts. First you get in the gates, and then you get into the courts, which means you're that next step closer, and there is Christ in his courts. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. We all know that as believers, we do, you know, you could all, maybe you've done this, how you doing as a Christian on a 1 to 10 scale, okay? How is your life? Last week, last month, last year, you know, 1 to 10, where are you at? Well, you're all going to, nobody's going to give you, you're not going to give yourself a 10. We're so far from being perfect, you all know that. Just, man, I goof up, maybe a 3, maybe a 5, maybe a 6. You know, some days better than others. We all know that. And so it's just the way the Christian life is. We struggle. There's sin, and sometimes fall into sin. There's temptation. Sometimes you give in to temptation, and some days good, some days not so good. But the point here I want to say is we're perfect at this time. We are perfectly able to talk, communicate, and understand what the Lord is doing. It talks these three words here. God is good, he's loving, and he's faithful. And so we will see the goodness and the love and the faithfulness of God in our lives and in the world like never, ever, ever before. And therefore, we will worship him like never, ever, ever before. Perfectly so. I mean, this should get you excited. These are kind of things you need to think about, especially when you've got a down day. You got to think about the future, the hope that God has for you. Psalm 102. It's a very interesting psalm. I'm going to read just a few verses just to give you the picture here. We'll start in verse 3. My days have been consumed in smoke. My bones have been scorched like a hearth. My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat my bread. Because of the loudness of my groaning, my bones cling to you. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I become like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I become like a lonely bird on a housetop. How's that person doing? Not so good. Maybe sometime you felt like that. In fact, this is not a it's a good song to remember because sometimes when you're going through it and things are difficult, you need to read something that really identifies with you because that helps you. Well, this guy had problems too. And pretty descriptive here, all the things he's going through. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we know some things. But what is so interesting, what happens here is again, we see this. And so, but what is the answer? What's the answer to this problem? What we're going to see that God tells us about the future, about his hope. And hope for the future, that is knowing that life will be better in the future, helps us get through the problems in the present. A lot of people are stuck in their problems because, and one reason is they're not looking to the future, to the blessings that God's going to give them. So we look here. We look to verse 12 then. Okay, all these problems. You, O Lord, abide forever. Your name to all generations. You will arise, future, and have compassion on Zion. It is time to be gracious, for the appointed time has come. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord. See this future aspect, the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. This is definitely the future. This is definitely hope. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from his holy height from heaven. The Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death, that men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. I love this. This is great. This is really applicable for your life. Because again, you all have struggles. You all have problems. And you read this verse, whoa, that's tough. What do? You go here. These verses 12 and on that talks about what God has for you. Again, this is kingdom age stuff, these last verses, but look at verses 25 and 6. Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. Now, this is talking about what? It's talking about the clothing of the earth being changed. Getting a restored earth, that is what is being stated here. Now, I know some people think, there's some Christians think, okay, we're on this earth, and then we're going to get a brand new heaven and earth. Perfect. I don't believe that. I believe there's three stages. This earth now, okay, the kingdom age where it's restored like this, and then the eternal kingdom, okay? And I've shared some verses, but let me go to one set here, Acts 3, 3:19 to 21, if you want to turn there, if not, just jot it down and look at it later. Again, all these thoughts here are on that PDF you can get if you go online. So sometimes people say I talk too fast. Well, I have a lot to say, okay? But also you can go online and get all my notes there, or you can go to Sermon Audio or Facebook, wherever you want to do it, and you can listen to it or you can watch it, whatever. It's all there, okay? Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. It says, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, I mentioned before, I think, when? When is that taking place? It's church age. This is church age language. We're talking about the start of the church here, Acts chapter 3. Then, and that he may send Jesus. Has he sent him yet? No. That God may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things. That word in this context, here's what I'm thinking about, the word restoration. This earth is going to be restored when Christ comes back. Then 1,000 years later, we get a brand new heavens and earth. But it's going to be restored. That is, earth's going to look a lot like it looks now. You know what I mean? It's very similar. Now, things will be different, but it's going to be restored. I use the words remodeled, remade, renovated, renewed. However, God's going to restore the earth. That's what we see there at the end of Psalm 102. We continue. Psalm 105. And again, I'm not, the only pattern I'm following this morning is the pattern of the scriptures, because you can see there's all kinds of themes here. Many different themes relative to the future. But Psalm 105, verses 6 to 11. O seed of Abraham. Remember we talked in Psalm 89 about the Davidic covenant, the promise to David about one of his descendants being a king? This is the Abrahamic covenant. This is it right here. He sums it up. This was given in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. Here he says this. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. This covenant, this is his promise about what? Abrahamic covenant is the promise to Abraham about what? Genesis 12, 1 and 2. It's about land. It's about land. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, then he confirmed it to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. And there's some people, you know, this is a big political thing here. Debate. Well, that land over there that Israel's in, that's not their land. That's for the Palestinians. Okay, I'm not going to get into a big debate. I'm just saying, here says that it's the Jews. It's Israelites. It's God gave it to them, okay? And they actually went around 1400. And partly, and you read Leviticus 18, explains it very clearly. Why? Because of the tremendous sin of the people that were living there, the Canaanites. Just gross, abhorrent sin. It's really, I don't even like reading that chapter. It's so sick what happened. But anyway, God gave them the land. That's what we see here. That's what we understand. And it would be theirs forever, this promise. Continue on Psalm 110. I'm not going to read this. I'm a little short on time, but I want to get through some more things here. Psalm 110 is a psalm about with the millennial kingdom in view, when Christ then is ruling from Zion, from Jerusalem. He'll be defeating the enemies of the people, he says there, shattering kings in the day of his wrath. Sometimes people might, well, you sure this is a millennial kingdom? That says a day. Well, you know there's that verse that says a day is like what? How many years? 1,000 years. Could be applicable here. This we know is one of Christ's purposes during his reign on this earth during the millennial kingdom. I'm not going to go there, but jot down 1 Corinthians 15, 24-25. Again, these are your notes you can get on that PDF, but that talk says the same thing. That's a millennial kingdom passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28, and it's all about Christ, well, one mask, Christ then defeating his enemies. That's exactly what we see here in Psalm 110. Psalm 111, we continue, verses 5 to 9. Two things here. I want to say, God will be faithful to his promise to Israel about land. That's verse 6. He'll be faithful to his promise about salvation. That's a new covenant. That's in verse 9. Okay, more prophecies there. We continue. Psalm 117, we have to read this one. This is the shortest chapter in the whole Bible. Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. So the first verses is a command to the whole world, right? Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. But verse 2 says that God's going to bless the Israelites, the Jewish believers. He's going to bless them. And the result of their blessing then is that it's going to affect the whole world, so that the world and the people in the world are seeing this as wow. And then because of this, then they're motivated. They are instructed then to worship and praise the Lord because they see how God is blessing Israel. And that's a huge theme that we see throughout the Old Testament, God's blessing of Israel being that which affects the whole world. We saw that in Psalm 67. All the ends of the earth will fear him and praise him. Psalm 130. We sing this. Part of the song, psalm anyway, verses 5 to 8. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. redemption, another good word for salvation. It really means deliverance. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And the fact that he says Israel as a nation and all his iniquities, I believe this makes this futuristic, talking about what Christ is going to do and how God will save a great, great remnant of Jews at the end of Daniel's 70th week. We continue Psalm 136. If you were here yesterday morning, we went over this briefly. It's a great Thanksgiving psalm. It's a good psalm to read. With respect to that, the first three verses say, give thanks to the Lord. The last verse says, give thanks to the Lord. And the phrase that repeats itself 26 times is, his loving kindness is everlasting. Again, this psalm is particularly for the Jews, and it goes through and gives their history as God chooses them, and they go through the difficult times with Pharaoh and the desert, but God then keeps them. But the thing I want you to see here, just two things here, right to the future. Verse 20, 21 and 22. And gave their land as a heritage, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That is, they came into the promised land. Even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So this is clear in this psalm here. It's a profound statement about God's love for his people, and we see that his love is everlasting. Then you come to this verse 21 and 22, talks about this land. And in the context of this land here, he says his loving kindness is everlasting. We know that God has promised the Israelites this land. If his loving kindness is everlasting, he's not then going to renege on his promise. He's not going to go back on his promises. Of course not. Of course not. You see, that's the point I'm trying to make here. His loving kindness is everlasting. He's going to be faithful, just like we saw Psalm 105. He's going to be faithful. It's a forever covenant of land to his people. Now you might say, well, okay, Steve, what's this look like? Because you said that this 1,000 years is nation of Israel. What's the eternal kingdom? I don't know. Okay, I don't have all the answers. What portion of the earth is Israel's and the eternal kingdom? What's that going to look like? I don't know. But all I know is it says it's a forever eternal thing here. And the fact that Israel has been coming back to their land, Jewish people that is, for the last 140 years or so, is a clear sign of God's faithful love to them, and that he then is fulfilling this verse. Psalm 145. First couple verses, I believe you're familiar with, says, I will extol you, my King, O God, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, I'll praise your name forever and ever. Then jump to verses 11 to 13. It says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. So you see, this is a kingdom psalm. To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So you get that language. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. So verses in the psalm make it clear that God's kingdom is eternal, that people be worshiping and serving the Lord forever and ever. And there are references that God will care for his people, that God will sustain his people, that God will be kind to his people. He'll satisfy their desires, meet their needs. And, of course, he'll be doing this during the millennial kingdom. That's, again, one of the big points to understand. We got problems now in this age. We're going to see it in the kingdom age how it should be done, even when there's sin in this world, okay? There's still sin, there's still problem, but Christ is going to reign. It's going to be wonderful to see that. Now, there are no direct references about the millennial kingdom here, none here, none in the Old Testament at all, but the fact that it's talking about the future everlasting kingdom, then it's got to be implied, it's got to be understood that this millennial kingdom is part of what he's talking about here. And for someone to say these verses don't apply, oh, this is just church age, this is just Old Testament, they do not understand the Word of God. They do not understand the character of God, the promises of God, the prophecies of God. It's all clear. And that's why for you, one of the hopefully big takeaways for you during this series is as you read the Bible, be thinking, when? And how does this apply to, how does this apply now, but how will this apply to me later? And that should really encourage you, knowing that things in verse Psalm 145 apply to you now, but will also apply to you in the future, you see? It'll change the whole way you read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. It's just the whole, and it's the right way. I'm convinced it's the right way. Last Psalm 150, the psalm was relevant to our worship of God today, but of course it'll be relevant to our worship of the Lord in the future. There's just six questions that are answered here. It tells us, and I'm not going to read it, it tells us what we are to do. that we're to praise the Lord. It tells us where we are to praise him in the sanctuary and all over the world. It tells us why we're to praise him for his mighty deeds. It tells us how we're to praise him with trumpets, harps, lyres, and cymbals. It tells us who should do it, everyone who has breath. It tells us when we should do it. The last verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is of what tense? Present. That means now and forever. Okay, simple. Those six questions are all answered right there in this last psalm. And so we've briefly looked at 34 psalms here in the last 2 weeks. That's a lot. As you know, I'm a daily reader of psalms. As you read your psalms, and I would encourage you to read them, you'll see these things. But might you be encouraged? Might you be thinking, hey, this is true to some degree today. There's going to be a lot more true tomorrow and in the future and in the kingdom age to come. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just a couple things I want to say before we pray here. On my blog post, christkingdom.org, C-H-R-I-S-T-S, kingdom.org, there's 280 charts. And I should have brought one or two today, but they really help you to see what's going on here. So I'd encourage you, they're all there. You can look at them online, or you can download them, you can print them out, whatever you want to do. But they're there. That will help you to see what's being said here today. The second thing is I want to say is, you got those little, all you get is little papers from either myself or Bruce, you know, write down things to be thankful for. If you didn't get a little piece of paper, find some piece of paper and write some things down and put in the box afterwards, because we want to share some of those things next week, indeed, being thankful. A third thing, I was talking to Giovanni the other day, yesterday and then today, and then Sally too, about Honduras. Honduras got slammed. And you don't, there's so much going on you don't read about. It really, really, really got slammed. Hurricane Mitch was about 20 years ago. This might be just as bad or worse. I mean, there's flooding. So she was telling about Sally about the airport there, San Pedro Sula, big city. I mean, the water's up to the 10-foot high. It's shut down, the airport. You can't fly in or out of San Pedro Sula Airport. I mean, people that are fortunate, her family, Sally's family lives there. They're on the high ground, but they can't go to the low ground. The stores are closed. It's flooded. That's that big city. It really, really wreaked havoc on Honduras. Mainly, I think Giovanni said, the northern section and also the eastern, maybe central section. Of course, Nicaragua's probably hit worse. So just be praying for the people there. And I'm probably going to get a hold of Ken Fuller to see if he knows much. But I did send I have a blog, of course, and I have some relative to hurricanes. So I put it out in the middle of the week. And the encouraging thing was this, is relative to Honduras, you know, you can see what countries are looking at the blogs and stuff, and said this one again, the feature was hurricanes and stuff. So the number one country all yesterday, all day Saturday, was what country? Honduras. Honduras. Of all the Spanish countries, Central America, South, it was Honduras. So pray for those people from Honduras. There's 504 views from Honduras alone, so that's encouraging. I'm going to read one verse here, then we're done. Jude 24 and 5, you know, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for those last verses, because it's your guarantee to us that by your grace and your mercy, your strength, you're going to get us through this life, and you're going to take us all the way to heaven and the future that you have for us, the wonderful, great future, Lord, to be with you. Kingdom ages to come, we thank you for that. Lord, I just again pray, we know some of these things in our head, this hope we're talking about, but God, might it be in our hearts, and I ask you, Father, to work in our hearts. Tough times come, Lord, help us to think about this hope. Help us to believe this. Help us to see that this is true, and this is real. And to have this strong conviction that, yes, we're going to get through this life here, then we'll get to heaven, then we'll be back on earth for the 1,000 years kingdom age, and after that, the eternal kingdom. We bless you, Father. Our salvation is an amazing thing that you've done for us. Lord Jesus, for your death for us. Holy Spirit, for being with us, in us, being our comfort, our strength, our teacher. We thank you for all these things. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you, too, for ones who couldn't make it today, Lord, different reasons. The virus, again, has been a tough thing. I pray, Lord, that you would help that to be dealt with sooner than later. If these vaccines really are good, that God would you know, work that out too. Lord, even talking to Rob here today about Candy's Creek Church, I think in eastern Tennessee, really the church has been struck hard by the virus. I thank you, Lord, that you've helped us here, but continue to pray for your safety and protection from that. And for those who do have it, Lord, that you give them grace, but we do bless you again that you're sovereign over all our lives. Lead us and use us, God, for your purposes and glory. We thank you again for all this. Pray this in Jesus' name.